We continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I shall be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18 to verse 24. This is an explanation of verse 17, where God had revealed to us that He is the one who has distributed to every man as the Lord Himself has called every one of us. So let us walk joyfully, happily, the life that God has given to us. And verse 18 to verse 24 describe the reason and the manner in which we must walk this life. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called of being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Amen. May God bless us once again in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. How do you look at your life? How you look at your life determines how you live your life. When we were unbelievers, we look at our life based upon what we have been taught, what the world had influenced us to think. Through the newspaper, through the internet, through the education that we are exposed to, the influence is very real. And if the world's influence is very strong in us, we will also, even as children of God, be affected. That is why when you look at this passage, the Apostle Paul will use a prohibition whereby he will tell the believers to stop an action that was in progress. As long as we are living in this world, we have to make sure that the influence of the world over us as children of the living God is minimized. It will never be completely destroyed. That will take place when we are no longer on this earth. We are no longer in this mortal flesh. As long as we are in this mortal flesh, Satan will use this world to seduce us, to tempt us into sinning. And one of the best ways is to begin with your mind. What you think of your life is how you're going to live it. The word used here to describe our topic is the word call. Our life is a matter of being called. And that is true whether you are a believer or unbeliever. Who is calling you? Which voice or voices are you listening to that has been shaping and molding your life? And that has been the way that you are living. If you come from different countries with different backgrounds, you hear different voices. When I was in Kenya, look at their culture, the way they live, the kind of decrees and rules and regulations and laws that the country lived in, it shapes and it molds the life of the people. And so there was a group of people who live in the wilderness. They do not live in cities. They live in cow dung huts. The way they live, their way of culture is very, very different. They believe that to have as many cows as possible is a reflection of your wealth. And so therefore, since they are nomadic in their way of life, they build a temporary structure to protect themselves. They believe in multiple wives. The richer you are, the more wives you can have, because you exchange them with your cows. And so in order to show them that they are very rich, to show their friends and their other relatives that they are very well off, they will lay their compound that they have encased with all these branches, thorny branches, to keep out wild animals with layers of cow dung. The more cow dung they have, the more wealth they have. So it is a reflection of their wealth to have cow dung all around them. Their building made of cow dung, the floor made of cow dung, and they use cow dung for many things. And to them, I believe, cow dung must be very fragrant. Just like some of us think that durian is very fragrant. Cow dung to them is very fragrant. To me, cow dung is not fragrant. I smell the place before I arrive. That's the culture. How you are brought up will determine how you live. There are many voices who try to control us. But these voices that we hear from the world is also one voice. It comes from the God of this world, and that's Satan. And Satan will continue to put all kinds of ideas into your head and to my head. Because what you think will determine what your desires are, and what your desires are will determine what your hands will do, where your feet will go to. That's where it begins. And so you have to know, as children of God, whose voice are you listening to? That is why this is a calling. And so this entire passage that the Apostle Paul has injected after dealing with certain individuals, certain status, like a person who is married, a person who is not a Christian before he got married, and he married an unbeliever, then he becomes a Christian, what should he do with his life? And then the next status that he's going to deal with is that of a virgin, verse 25. And then he's going to deal with widows later on. And before he continues, he now inserted in between this very important truth concerning calling. You may not acknowledge God if you are not a believer. You will not acknowledge the God of the Bible as the one who is in control of your life. But just because you do not acknowledge Him as the one who is in control of your life, doesn't mean that He is not in control of your life, because He doesn't ask any one of us permission. He is God. You can deny Him, you can pretend that He does not exist, but it makes no difference to Him because He still exists. You are living in His world. We all are. We are breathing His air. We are dependent upon His sun, the stars and the moon that He has created for our survival. Everything that you and I depend upon for survival belongs to Him. He owns this universe. He owns us. And that voice that is telling you otherwise is the voice of the God of this world, Satan himself. And so you have to know whose voice is ringing in your head. Whose voice are you listening to? It makes a world of difference. You listen to the wrong voice, you're going to have the wrong mind, you're going to have the wrong desires, which will result in the wrong life. And your life is precious to you because it is limited. You don't have all the time on this earth to live any way you like. Because if you live any way you like according to what is right in your own eyes, it's going to be a wasted life. And at the end of your life on this earth, you're going to answer to God Almighty. And God Almighty has given to us the Word to help us so that none of us, especially God's children, should waste His life. He now is a child of God. If you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, you must now know that you have been left behind on earth after salvation, which already made you a suitable citizen to enter heaven in Christ Jesus. But then God says, I don't want you to enter heaven yet. I want you to remain on earth after you are born again in Christ to fulfill my call, my calling in your life. And that is why the Apostle Paul inserted this. Because how you regard your status, whether you are single, whether you are married, and what you're going to do as a single person who is a virgin, who is not yet married, looking for a life partner, and then those who have experienced death because of sickness of a loved one, and so now you're a widow or a widower. All these are very important to God, because it will, if you do not have a biblical understanding, impact and affect all the other areas of your life. You know that. Getting married is a very important crossroads, where your status on this earth will be changed forever. You begin as a single person. The moment you get married, and if you become a single person again, the status will never be just simply a single person. If you are divorced, you'll be known as a divorcee. If you have a loved one who has passed away, you are now a widow or a widower. Your status is changed forever. And your life and your relationship with people, with everything that you hold dear to, will also change. And that's why you have to understand calling. You're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. You must understand that your life is a life whereby you are called to do a purpose that is far higher than what the world offers you. And so we need to understand, first and foremost, know the importance of the nature of your call. Know the importance of it. It's not about pedigree. It's not about nationality. We all are very hung up about nationality. Isn't that true? The Singapore passport is a very, very desirable passport because we can enter into many, many countries. And when people look at our red color passport, they know the strictness of our country. They know how draconian our law is concerning drugs, concerning murder. We have the death penalty. And then because we have a very efficient government who has been able to make very good treaties all over many countries, where when we enter, the Singapore passport is a good passport to have. Sure, it's not the best according to the internet, but it is one of the better ones. There are many other countries, so people take pride in their nationality. The Apostle Paul says otherwise. God says otherwise. Don't take pride in your nationality. It does not matter. Now, in the case of the writing of 1 Corinthians, there are only two kinds of people on earth since the formation of the nation of Israel. Either you are a Jew or you are a Gentile. That's it. A Jew or a Gentile. To the Jews, we are called the people of God because Christ must come as a Jew. He must come from a particular nation. All the nations of the world are designed by men, originated from idolatry. And so God had to design His own nation so that the origin of it will be founded in God's word. And so God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through these three men of God, God brought about the nation of Israel, because the old name of Israel was Jacob. Jacob was given a new name by God, Israel. And so when the nation was born, they called it Israel, Prince of God. And so God chose Israel, through whom Christ will come. And so the people of Israel had this pride that we are the people of God. And then the rest, they are not the people of God, they are called Gentiles. They are just called nations. That's the meaning of Gentiles, nations. But now when the church was born, when the church has replaced the nation of Israel as the only witness on earth for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, because Israel had rejected Christ, so God had to reject Israel, and Israel is no longer the people of God the way that they were in Old Testament times. But they were the one who had the word. They are the ones who had the temple. They are the ones who had the priest. They are the ones who had the truth. So that by the way they lived, the holy lives that they lived, the world could see Christ in them. But the moment they rejected Christ, which is the soul, the heart, and of the message of God, God said, I can't use you as my witness anymore. I have to find another witness, an alternative. And that's when God called us Gentiles. Even though the church started with only Jews at Pentecost, Acts 2. And the church grew and increased in the thousands, all Jews, right up to Acts chapter 7. But from Acts 8 onwards, God brought in the Samaritans. From Acts 10 onwards, God brought in the Gentiles. And ever since then, the church has now been dominated by Gentiles. And so God had to instruct us, remind us, even though we may have idolatrous beginnings, even though we may have idolatrous background, but now that we are born again in Christ Jesus, we must now no longer listen to the call of the world to dictate and to control our lives. We must know that there is another call. And this call that you and I must know, first, the nature of this call. And then after that, we have to know the one who calls us. We have to stop listening to the voice of the world. Because if you continue to allow the voice of the world, and it will continue to bombard into your ears through the music you listen to, through the literature you read, through the world that you are exposed to every day of your life from Monday to Friday as you work, and then, of course, your recreation sometimes on Saturday. All these will impact and affect you to diminish the call that you must never forget. First, look at the nature. Verse 18 and verse 19. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. So don't be so hung up about your nationality. Who you are, what you are, the color of skin, God says, as far as your call is concerned, it does not matter. I decide, remember God said in verse 17, I distributed to every man where you are born, what the color of your skin is, what your citizenship is, which century you're going to be born. God says, I decide. And therefore, I know. And God is now telling us that is inconsequential when it comes to the fulfillment of the call that I have for you. But the keeping of the commandments of God is crucial. Remember this. Verse 18, is any man being called circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. If any man that is uncircumcised, don't let him be circumcised. So don't worry. Don't envy the Jews. The Jews don't envy the Gentiles. In other words, don't envy anyone. Whatever the color of your skin, whatever your nationality, don't be jealous. Thank God for the way that God has made you. Thank God for who you are. You are unique and you are special to God. You just make sure that you keep the commandments of God. That is crucial. Because in order for your call to be effective, the world needs to see Christ in you. How will the world see Christ in you? The world will see Christ in you when the words of Christ are obeyed by you, when you begin to keep the commandments of God, the word of God. The more you obey the word of God, the more you study the word of God, the more you understand the word of God, the more the image of Jesus Christ will be seen in your life. Because the more you study the Word of God, what do you think will begin to happen? The Word of God will begin to enter into your mind. The more you study, the more you understand. And that means your thinking will be transformed. The worldly voices, the worldly ideas that these voices of the past that have been put into your head will now be replaced, removed, pushed out. And the word of God will now fill it. And as you are in the world, the voice of the world will try to push out the word of God again. And that's why you must have a consistent daily dosage studying the word. You have to. You may push out the voices of the world the first time when you were born again. And then the word of God that you study. But don't forget you are still immersed in the world when you serve God in the world. The ideas and the philosophies, through the entertainment, through the music, through all these, Satan will try to push out the voice of the Word of God in your head now. And he will replace it. And if you have not been studying the Word of God faithfully, consistently, he will succeed. Because we forget things. You must understand your mind. We don't remember things all the time. We forget. And the less you study God's Word, the less you are reminded of God's Word, the more the voices of the world will come back in. And that's why you have to keep on studying, keep on praying. Never stop memorizing, never stop memorizing with understanding, always with a heart to obey. That's what it means by keeping the commandments of God. That is the heart and soul of the nature of your call. Because you and I are called to be like Christ. Wherever you are, You have to be like Christ. Nobody else. The old man is dead. The old image must be pushed out, replaced by the image of Jesus Christ. And it all begins up there. You want to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? You must, as a child of God. That's what Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2 tells us. You have to, because of what Christ has done for you. You must offer this body as a living sacrifice. But just the desire to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice is not enough. You must do so by the renewing of your mind. And that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 also says. You must do so by the renewing of your mind. How to renew this mind of ours so that we can be an acceptable offering to God for God to use? How can God use you if your thinking is very worldly and carnal? How can God use you? You think like the world? If you are put in charge of a ministry, you will use the ways and the philosophies and the methods of the world to look after the ministry. It will collapse. It will hurt people. It will not build them up to edify them, to help them become more like Christ. Instead, it will have the reverse effect because your entire philosophy and methodology is like the world. For example, if you're entrusted with the ministry and all you care about is numbers, because that's what the world thinks, right? Numbers, 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 numbers. If there is an increase in productivity, more products are sold. That means you are a good leader. More money brought in. More people, more and more people. All these, it's a number game. The world is obsessed with numbers. Now, you don't have the Word of God in you. And then now you want to serve. Very zealous and fervent. And you have the gift of the gap. And so people think that you are a very, very good leader. And so they put you up in positions of leadership. And so now in the committee, you now with the gift of the gap, you try to convince the people, but your whole head is still full of worldly methods, worldly philosophies, numbers. So how to increase the numbers? How to get more people to come for this ministry, this meeting? Or your sincerity is not doubted. You really want people to come. But your method of drawing the people into the ministry is going to be the way of the world. First and foremost, your focus on numbers would be wrong. That's problem number one. Problem number two will be your methodology. And so you're going to try to bring in the numbers. And so when you say, all right, come for this meeting, come for that meeting, because after the meeting, there will be a very good free makan. And so you get the best chef, best cooks in the ministry to provide the food. So do they come for the spiritual word for the right reason? No, they come for the food. Free food. Why not? Why not? And so, don't use the way of the world. Please. Memorizing of God's word. If you can memorize how many verses within 1 year, we give you a prize. $5,000. You want to? You want to or not? Give you a prize. Of course, not money, of course. Send you on a holiday somewhere worth $5,000. The one who can memorize all these verses, word perfect, from now up to December, $5,000, a trip to one particular beautiful island for two. So $10,000. You want? Now until December, I give the verses. All right, memorize Psalm 119. 176 verses. $10,000 is yours. Do you want it? But is it wrong to get them to memorize the word? No. You really want them to memorize. But the enticement that you use, the motive that you now put into the heart of the person who memorizes the word of God, is disastrous. It is the way of the world. The world will continue to use reward to dangle the sweet carrot in front of us. To do all things. You must know the word of God. Otherwise, you're going to be a terrible witness for the Lord, and the calling that God has for you will be a mess. People will find it hard to see Christ in you because they will continue to see the world, because you have been using the world, because your mind has not been filled with the word of God, because you have not kept the word of God. And this word keep is to guard. is not to allow the word of God to be taken away from you. That means you must have the study of God's word a very high priority in your life. Don't let the priority be turned into second place. Let the priority always be first place. Not only as a single person, but even after you're married, not only after you're married, even after you have children, not only after you have children, even after you're working, even after you're retired, it makes no difference. The word of God must continue to be studied, to be understood, and to be obeyed. That is the meaning of the word keep. The external circumstances of life must not cause you to let the word of God be stolen away from you. When the word of God is not the most important thing in your life, you have allowed someone or something to take its place. That means the word of God is stolen away from you, because the word keep there means to keep an eye on the word of God from not letting it be taken away. That's what it means. The word of God says, keep the Sabbath day holy. That means that day is supposed to be a day devoted to the Lord. Don't let anyone take it away from you. Don't let business, don't let entertainment, don't let sports, don't let anyone or anything take that away from you from keeping the Lord's day holy. You promise to attend the Sunset Gospel Hour. Don't let anyone take that away from you. You promise God to attend prayer meeting. Don't let anyone take that away from you. You promise to keep your quiet time to begin the day with the word of God and with prayer every day. Don't let anyone take that away from you. You promise God to pray with your children before they go to school all the days of their lives, as long as they are with you, under your care. Don't let anyone or anything take that away from you. You promise God to pray with your children before they go to sleep. Don't let anyone or anything take that away from you. That's what it means. You guard and you keep the word of God. Don't let anyone, because that is the essence and the nature of your calling. Because once you have the word, you begin to think like Christ. Your desires will be like Christ. The things you do with your hands will be like Christ. The places you go to with your feet will be where Christ would go. And the words that come out of your mouth will also be Christ-like. And that's what it means by people seeing Christ in your life. Or you'll still be your face, you'll still be your image. But your action, the words, they're no longer yours. Because now your mind is filled with the word of God, because you have been a consistent, a faithful student of God's word all the days of your life, from the time you were converted until now. You will be transformed, you will change. And whatever your own desires are, it will be replaced. Because it all begins with the mind. It's what you think, what your desires are, and what you will become. And therefore, it is so important that the word of God must be key. You begin as a babe in Christ, as a newborn believer. And then as you continue to study the word of God, you become more and more mature, and then you will begin to eat meat. You begin to know more and more the doctrines of God. You must go beyond the doctrine of salvation. You make sure of your salvation by understanding all the many different aspects of the doctrine of salvation. You must understand what is the meaning when the Bible talks about sin, death, and hell. You must know what it means for Jesus Christ to be born of the Virgin. You must know what it means for Jesus Christ to suffer, for Jesus Christ to die, for Jesus Christ to rise from the dead. All these, you must know them so that your salvation is not based upon feeling anymore. Your salvation is based upon the promise of God's word, so that Satan cannot seduce you into making you doubt your own salvation. And once that is stabilized, then you continue to go from strength to strength so that you will not fall and become a stumbling block. Then you study more of the other doctrines that will sanctify you and help you become a better father, a better husband, a better mother, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter, a better parent, a better employer, a better employee. Because the word of God will surely, little by little, transform your entire life. And your walk with God will be intimate, will be close. Naturally, your life will become holy. That's the essence of the call. Not the color of your skin, not your nationality, not your pedigree. It's not how rich you are or how poor, it does not matter. And to emphasize this point even more, the Apostle Paul cited this example from verse 20 to 24. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. It does not matter. All right, whatever state or condition that God has put you in, accept it. Happily, graciously, with peace in your heart. In other words, don't compare. The moment you start comparing, discontentment will begin. You become very unhappy. You become a very sad person when you compare. Husbands, never say to your wife, why can't you be like the other person's wife? Never, never say that. If you ever think of it, you better stop thinking and repent. Don't let those words ever come out of your mouth. You thank God for the way God has given to you your calling. Don't be envious of those who have big cars and big houses. Remember, these are not essential. The most important thing in your life is to keep God's word, is to obey God's word. If God has called you to be a refuse collector, be the best Christian refuse collector, living in your tiny little three-room HDB flat, be the best Christian refuse collector. Don't measure yourself by the standard of the world. That's why these are the voices you have to remove. Parents, please, don't keep on pushing your children that they must all get into university, that they must by hook or by crook get a degree. Otherwise, they cannot have a good life. What is a good life? Dollars and cents? Big house? Big car? Please, that is the voice of the world you have to erase. You have to, as a parent, help your child discover what is God's will for them. That is your responsibility, not to dictate and determine based upon the voice of the world. It is now the voice of God, make sure of their salvation. And after that, help them discover God's will. And whatever God's will is, tell them to be the best Christian in whatever God has called them to become. Because there are many who need Christ, including those who are refuse collector. There are many sinners there. They need to see Christ. Without a Christian refuse collector, the kingdom of heaven is very far from them. And the moment a godly Christian is there, the seed of the gospel is there, you have now brought the kingdom of God so near to them. All you need to do is to preach the gospel to them, back it up, evidence it with a life of holiness. Don't measure, stop measuring one another, stop measuring yourself by the standard of the world. It does not matter what kind of garments you wear, what kind of bag you carry, what kind of pen you have. All these are irrelevant. You thank God for the way that God has called you and made you the way you are with whatever profession that you are doing. Be a keeper of God's word. That is crucial. And so Paul says, are thou called being a servant? The word servant there is a slave. An abject, total slave. That is worse than a refuse collector in the standard and the eyes of the world. He has no right. A master can kill him and the master will be free. He is a slave. In fact, a slave is worse than an animal. That's a slave. And yet Paul says, are thou called by God being a slave, a servant? Cannot for, don't worry about it. Don't bother. Don't measure yourself as if you're a small person because you are a slave. But if thou mayest be free, fine. If the opportunity comes for you to be a free man, use it. But don't bother about it. Don't harp on it. Don't try to get out of it. If the offer comes for you to be free, take it. But if it doesn't come, it's okay to be a slave. To be the best Christian slave you could ever be. And if God wants you to be a slave all the days of your life here on earth, there are many slaves who are not believers. You can reach out to them as a fellow slave. It's okay. But if the opportunity comes for you to be free, it's fine. Please don't leave this sanctuary thinking that to be rich is a sin. Don't long for it. Don't harp on it. Please, let your focus be on keeping God's word, not materialism. That belonged to the old man. That was the voice, that was the calling of the God of this world, not the God of the Bible. You have to stop measuring yourself in terms of how big a bank account you have. You have to stop measuring yourself by the titles that you have given to you by the world because of your superb education. Stop measuring yourself by the titles you have because of the company's promotion. your CEO, your managerial position, all these are irrelevant. You make sure you focus on one thing that is most important. Be a good, faithful keeper of God's word in your life. And accept what God has given to you. And do so happily, joyfully. Don't aim for wealth. But if God decides to give you wealth, use it faithfully. Never aim for it. Never long for it. So that you will not be spoiled by it. Why do you think Joseph and Daniel? Daniel was a slave by captivity. Joseph was a slave sold by his own brothers. Overnight, they were thrust into positions of power and wealth. Both of them were not ruined by it. Why? Because both of them never sought after them. Both of them sought to please God. Daniel sought never to defile himself. And so 70 years of his life in Babylon, in high positions of power, living the best life and having all the wealth that he could ever enjoy, it did not ruin him one bit. Because he determined in his heart never to defile himself. He never sought for it at all. And so when they come, he was not ruined by it. You seek after mammon, mammon will kill you. Mammon will destroy you. Mammon will make you proud, and pride comes before the fall. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, they are of the world. They are not of God and not of the Father. That kind of love will destroy you. That kind of desires have destroyed many men, women, and children. Are you a child of God? Then you have to stop. You cannot let that destroy you, because the witness of Jesus Christ is now in you. When you live a life that does not reflect a holy, wonderful Savior, and you call yourself a Christian, you're going to reflect a horrible, corrupt, and carnal Savior. And when you preach the gospel, you are presenting a carnal Savior. They will reject Christ, because they will see a carnal Savior. Why would I want to accept a carnal Savior? Why would I not want to accept a wonderful Savior? I would if I can see him in your life, because you say you are a Christian. Evidence it by the life of Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul argues. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant, he is the Lord's free man. You see this? So if you are a slave, it does not matter whether you are a slave or not. As far as the Lord is concerned, you know that you are the Lord's free man. I am here on earth to do the Lord's business. I may be a slave in your eyes, but I am the Lord's servant. Don't you forget that. You are the Lord's free man. You are doing the work of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No, the world will continue to see you as nothing but a slave. So be it. Because at the end of your life, you're not going to stand in front of the world. You're going to stand in front of Christ. Which one do you want? To end your life with the smile of the world on your life? Where the world will say all kinds of high praises about you? Or do you want the smile to see the smile on the Lord's face? Where the Lord will say to you, well done, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Or you want the world to say that of you? That's your life. It's your choice. Choose it wisely. The Apostle Paul says, choose Christ. He chose Christ. He wants you to choose Christ. He knows he can't force you. It has to be your decision, because it's your life. Not your husband, not your wife, it's yours. Choose well. If you are a slave, you are, remember, you are the Lord's free man. But if you are a free person, you are Christ's servant. Why did the Apostle Paul switch? Why did on one hand he use the word Lord, and then the other way, he used Christ? The emphasis is obvious. Because to the servant who is a slave, he always relates himself, that is a master, that is a Lord. Because Lord means master-slave relationship. That's why the word Lord is used. And so he tells the slave, even if the human master is telling you to do this and do that, under the hot sun, do all kinds of terrible things, and you suffer greatly, do it for the Lord's sake. You are the Lord's free man. It may be the human master that is giving you the order, But always remember, he cannot give you that order if your Lord Jesus Christ in heaven did not allow him. You are the Lord's free man. Please understand, that's why the word Lord is used. If you are a servant, if you are a slave. But if you are a free man, remember Christ. The anointed Savior, that's the meaning of Christ, Messiah, anointed. Remember the price that has been paid to redeem you. And that's exactly what you see in verse 23 and 24. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the slaves of men. Stop serving men. When you go to work, don't bother about whether you are the lowest rank in your company. It does not matter. What matters is, are you keeping God's word? You are the Lord's freeman. You are the Lord's servant. You have been bought with a price. Christ has redeemed you from the bondage of sin, from death, and from hell. Remember that. You are not the servants of men. You don't serve men. Sure, we serve one another. But actually, we are serving the Lord. And that's why when we serve one another, how you treat me, how you regard me, it's okay. If you say thank you, thanks for the encouragement. If you don't say thank you, you ignore, so be it. If by doing good for you, to help you, to become more like Christ, and you get upset and angry with me, I'm prepared to accept your anger rather than Christ's anger. If I want you to be nice to me and I keep my mouth shut and do not do what is right, do not say what is right to you so that you will be nice to me. But I know Christ will not be nice to me. He will be angry with me because I'd rather choose your friendship in disobeying Christ than to choose Christ's friendship. He called us his friend. Than to disobey you and incur your anger. I'd rather you be angry with me than Christ. And so as a pastor, I have to do what is right. Painful, yes. But it has to be done. You get angry with me, sure. But I would rather you be angry with me than Christ be angry with me anytime. Do you want to kick me out? So be it. But you didn't kick me out. It is the Lord. We are all here to do the Lord's business. The Lord has redeemed me with His precious blood. Sure, we are servants of men, but ultimately, we are servants of the Most High God. I'm here to do God's word and to teach God's will. There are people who say, why does a pastor always keep on scolding us? I keep on scolding us. Why can't you say something nice? Have you been a parent before? Have you never harped on some things about your children? Keep on telling your child. Keep your room tidy. Keep your room tidy. Keep your room tidy. Why? Because the room is not tidy. If the room is tidy, parents will stop saying, keep your room tidy, right? And so if your house, your life, your room is holy and righteous, God won't have to keep on harping. Keep on harping. All the epistles in the New Testament were written because of problems in the church. Different kinds of problems. So if you say, please give us some sweet message, then basically you're telling us, don't preach from the epistles. That means more than half the New Testament, put it aside. So do I listen to you or should I listen to God? God gave us the epistles because He knows that His people, His children, will continue to have some mess in their room. And that's why it is important for us to keep on dealing with the mess, keep on cleaning up the mess, because God wants the best for His children. He wants His children to live a holy life. Holy life means get rid of the mess, repent of your sin. That's what it means. And that's what God wants. And that's what the Word of God will continue to encourage us. If you don't like it, your problem is not with me, it's with God. You tell Him, Lord, stop telling me to clean up my house. My house is clean. Are you sure? Your relationship with your spouse is according to scriptures? Your wife is living a holy life? You are helping her to become more and more spiritual? Are you sure? Are you obeying your husband in the Lord according to scriptures? Whether he's a believer or not, you are a Christian wife, you're supposed to submit to him. And so if the Word of God keeps on reminding you, why? Because you are not doing it. And until you do it, the Lord will continue to remind you. Because you call yourself a Christian, you carry the image of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to distort the image of Christ. Because if you are a disobedient wife, you're distorting the image of Christ. If you're an uncaring, a husband who doesn't love the wife and the way that Christ loved the church and helping your wife to become more and more holy and godly with every passing week, then you have failed the Lord, you have failed her. And if you're not a godly parent and you're pushing your children toward only secular education and you don't pray with them, you don't read them and teach them God's word, you don't pray for them, pray with them, you're a failure as a parent. And that is a mess. And what kind of image of Jesus Christ will your children see in you? And all you care about is their education, their math, their science, and all the Chinese language, or whatever language. Have you ever cared about their knowledge of the Word of God? Have you ever asked them about whether they prayed? Have you ever asked them whether they have kept their quiet time? Have you ever prayed with them and talked to them about Christ? Encouraged them to attend fellowships? No. What kind of Christ have you presented? That's a mess. And so the Word of God must sanctify and clean up. You have to remember God wants the best for all of us. To reflect the image of Christ. That's why after salvation, you and I are left behind to do this. That's why know your calling. The essence of your calling is to keep, to obey God's word. Why? Because the voice that you must hear is no longer the God of this world. It is the God of the Bible. You must know who calls you. Stop listening to the voices of the world. Stop thinking and doing what is right in your own eyes, because that's what the voice of the world says. Live a life according to what God wants. That's what you find in verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein remain, abide with God. That's it. Remain with God. By all means, serve one another, but ultimately, always serve God. Because when you serve God, you obey His word, regardless of the consequence. You want to be angry with me because I do what is right for you and for your family and for your children? So be it. But I will still want to do what is right. You may not like it, you'll be angry with me, but I'd rather incur your anger than the anger of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to fail Him. And if it comes to hurting you in order to please Him, I will do it for Jesus' sake, hoping that you will become a more holy and a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's why you and I have been called by God to do. Doesn't matter what your profession is. Doesn't matter what your status and standing in society is. Don't worry about these things. Care that you are a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ by keeping His word. He has called you. He has saved you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him well. Fulfill your calling by being faithful to the very end of your life. That at the end, let the smile that you see be on the face of your Savior and not of the world. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee. Thou hast been so patient and so long-suffering in dealing with all of us. Help us therefore, O Lord, as children of the Most High God, to live a life not according to what we desire, but to live a life according to what You desire. And to do that, we need the Word. Help us therefore to have a faithful, consistent study of Thy Holy Word, and grant to us understanding. And having understood Thy Word, grant us obedience, that the Word of God will be obeyed, so that our lives will reflect only the image of the wonderful Savior to our children, to our friends, to everyone that You will bring into our lives. Where we have failed Thee, may Thou forgive us. We thank Thee, Lord, for this wonderful life and the privilege and the honor that You have entrusted to us. After salvation, grace and mercy has been given to us, You have chosen us, called us to bear the image of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we have failed Thee, forgive us. May we never give up living only for the Savior. Thus, by our good works, our friends and family members, especially our children, may see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven by believing in Christ as their Lord and as their Savior as well. Keep this church, O Lord, faithful, that we may help one another to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ until the Lord Jesus returns. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.